try to instill your worth. Like, you are important. You're not just made for nothing. You're made for something bigger than this.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
What's up, everybody? Art Eddy here for the Art of Fatherhood podcast and online. I'm very happy to have John Scott. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me, John. How you doing, sir?
Not bad, Art. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, man. This is awesome because I'm a big sports fan, and of course, I love celebrating fatherhood. You fit my wheelhouse, sir. Of course, you played in the NHL. You have a great book. We'll get all to that in a second, but I got to say congratulations on the recent birth of your daughter. I honestly thought it was your fifth daughter, but you're like, no, Art, it's my sixth. And so you have six daughters now. You have your own little hockey team. I have two daughters, so I kind of feel you on being the only guy in the house, right? But I love the fact that you had the hashtag girl dad when you're celebrating the birth of your sixth daughter. How fun is it being a dad of daughters, sir?
Yeah, it definitely takes it to another level. It's one of those things where they love their dad, right? And they're all relatively young. My oldest is eight. So when I wake up, I'm like rock star as soon as I step out of the bedroom. So it's kind of cool every day. It's like, yes, dad's here. And so it's really cool. And then I expect that greeting whenever I go places, and I don't usually get it. So I stick around my kids all the time. They make me feel important.
They're your hype people, right?
Oh, it's fantastic. It's awesome.
All right, so you have six daughters, but take me back when you found out you were going to be a dad, like nine and a half years ago. What was going through your mind, sir?
I was still playing hockey at the time, and I'll be completely honest, I didn't put too much thought into it just because I was focusing 100% on my work. When you play a professional sport, you really do have to devote all your time to that. I wasn't the greatest dad at that time. If you ask my wife, she'll probably tell you that she was a single parent for our first two kids just because I was gone. And when I was home, I was focused on hockey. Even, you know, if I'm in the room, my mind's not there. So it was tough. I wasn't a great dad for the most part. They were babies, so it's not much I could do. But yeah, it wasn't my main priority. I will hate to admit.
I appreciate you sharing that because there are some guys, different Facebook groups or different groups that I'm in that, you know, we talk about fatherhood and some of them say like, I wasn't there maybe in the beginning, but now I'm full into it. Or like, I don't even now, like some people like my child is 9 or 10 years old and I'm having tough times, you know, connecting with them. And like, you have to be honest with yourself to fix that issue if you want it to be fixed, especially with you being a professional athlete, like you said, and you're just, your mind was constantly on that. Of course, mind, body, spirit, everything was kind of focused in on the NHL. Do you think now, like, I'm not saying it's easier because obviously you got six daughters now, six kids running around the house. Was your biggest challenge trying to balance work and family, or do you have a challenge right now that you're facing as a dad?
Well, especially raising girls, right? I think it's even more important because you want them to be good women when they grow up. And I think there's a lot of bad influences out there, especially for women and girls. They just look on social media and kind of, the pop artists, the movie stars, they're not exactly great role models. I'm not going to, you know, bash anybody, but that's just how I see it. And it's difficult. We're in the checkout line at a grocery store and all you see is just enhanced breasts and lips and everything. So it's like, man, oh man, like it's just a struggle to try to keep them innocent and pure and little girls as long as I can and try to raise them with morals that when they grow up, they kind of are secure in themselves where they aren't just kind of selling themselves out like that. And I'm not, you know, talking down to anybody, but that's just my kind of thought process when I try to raise girls.
No, I agree, man. Again, like, especially being a dad, two daughters, I see that the way women are seen sometimes as objects, you don't want that. And you want them to be confident in themselves, but also too, like, you always had in the back of your mind, all right, if they're wearing this or that, are they going to be looked at for their personality, their, like who they are, or are they just going to be looking at as a slab of meat? So I get that. And I think that there are certain things that, whether or not it's fair or not, there's going to be different fear raising boys compared to raising girls. But I definitely get that. And one of the things you said right there is like trying to make sure that they kind of stay young and innocent as far as long as possible. And that's really tough. And I get that because like you want them to enjoy life. You want them to be experiencing things. But I think you can agree with me. Like this generation is growing up way too fast than past generations, right?
Well, it's insane. Yeah. You look at a 10-year-old in this generation compared to a 10-year-old 50 years ago, it would be completely two different people, even just their clothes and how they act and how they interact with adults. And I think kids have just pressed the fast forward button on how quick they grow up. So our main goal in our house is to not keep them isolated, but just be very selective who we hang around with. And that goes for our friends too. We've had to cut out friends in our life just because we didn't like the way that their kids were acting and kind of how they were raising their kids. And we just said, you know what, this isn't meshing with us to have a select group of friends that we hang out with now. And we are very aware of it. And we make it a priority when we do hang out with people, when we are in public, we're aware of it, you know, and we don't just take a blind eye to, oh, you know, we're going to go to Bill's house and, you know, he might, you know, do something differently. Well, we don't go to Bill's house. That's just how we're doing. We take it serious. Yeah. We had a scare earlier on with, we were at our friend's house and, gosh, my daughter went and played with one of their kids and they were in a tent outside. And she's like, here, come and look at this iPhone. Like someone, there's a picture of it of a guy peeing. And we're like, what? And luckily the phone didn't break, but it was pornography. You know, the phone couldn't pick up Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
And my kid was like 6 years old and we panicked. And God, we got blessed somehow that she wasn't exposed to that. But it just like, we didn't just kind of rest on it and say, oh, you know, we got lucky. Really, we told the parents who said, hey, listen, something's on that phone. They took care of it, and then we just switched it. We homeschool our kids now. We're very aware of what's going on. We took it really serious. So I think that little kind of scare really helped us out a lot.
Things could have been a lot worse. And yeah, there are certain things where they're exposed because they have that phone or tablet in their hand, and there's a lot of things. Like, heck, I'm 41. I remember if I had to go do a report, my parents would take me to the local library and I have to look stuff up and then like come home. And I'm like, all right, I totally agree. And I know when I talk to athletes who are no longer playing, of course, had that strong work ethic. No matter who you are and you get to that top of the mountain in professional sports or just in anything, whether you're a CEO, actor, musician, any craft you are, and you're at the highest plane of that career field, you got to have that work ethic and that drive and the tenacity. And sometimes when I talk to athletes, they're like, yeah, my kids aren't really seeing the amount of work I put in. Yeah, they could see highlights or this or that, but besides the hard work, you and your wife are going to instill that in them. What are some of the other core values you look to instill in your daughters as they're growing up?
Well, we're Catholic in our household, so that's a big part of our life where we try to go to church. We try to instill morals and just your worth in God's eyes. And I know not everyone's religious, so I don't want to go into that whole scene, but I just think we try to instill your worth. Like you are important. You're not just made for nothing. You're made for something bigger than this. And we try to preach that to them. And it starts at home. I just want to be a good role model for them. I'm very good to their wife. I do my best to be a good husband. I think that's where it starts. And if the kids see you being a good husband to my wife, their mom, that's what they're going to strive to. They're not going to, you know, set the bar lower. I want to set the bar high. So when they go looking for a husband, he has to jump over that bar, hopefully. And I just start with little stuff. In the morning, I'll ask her how she's doing. I always try to put my wife and my kids first. And I'm not a perfect person, but I just try to do that as many times as I can throughout the day.
100% agree, sir. I love my wife and I want to do the best for her, but that's another way of like showing your daughters and of course my daughters like, hey, this is the way you should treat a lady. This is how you should treat your wife, your spouse, and make sure you respect them and all that. So my daughters are 12 and 10. And it's always like, you know, if they kind of speak up to my mom and say, hey, you better respect her before anybody else. She, you know, she gave birth to you. So you got to make sure that you treat her with respect. So I feel you on that. And a guy who is a father to six knows a thing or two about being a dad. So for the new dads, listen to this, who's just going to be a dad, what is one big piece of advice you'd offer to them?
You're going to make mistakes all the time. Like, you're going to get upset. You're going to get angry. It's going to happen. You're going to be frustrated at your kids. I still do it. I take time at least once or twice a week where I'm like, all right, cool down. They're just kids. Like, just take it easy. So you need to give yourself a break because it is hard being a parent and you are going to mess up. And the great thing about kids, they forget about things super easy. So mess up, you know, shake it off and just do better next time because there's no book on how to be a perfect dad. Everybody has to kind of write their own book and do things that works for them. And you just kind of learn along the way. You know, you skin your knee, you grow a scab and you're stronger the next time. So it's not difficult, but you just have to be present and put the work in and you'll be a great dad.
Well said, sir. And, you know, we always want to be the leaders and we want to teach our kids things in life. What is something that your kids have taught you about life or about yourself that you wouldn't mind sharing with my audience?
Wow, that's a good one. It's funny. I'm a very serious person for the most part when it comes to like tasks and getting things done and just, I want it done this way. I want it done now and I want it done quickly and the right way.
Yeah.
And they've definitely tested my patience where I just have to kind of just take a step back and be like, all right, like just try to enjoy the whole process. It doesn't have to be perfect. We'll build something or we'll do, even doing a puzzle. you know, something little like that. Like, we're going to do the edges first, then we're going to do the inside after that. Don't touch that. That goes there. You're going to, like, or I just have to just, like, okay, you know what? Let's just let it happen. Someone's going to walk by and kick the puzzle in half, and we'll be fine with it. So little stuff like that where I'm just, like, just let go of the reins a little bit. It's real life. It's serious. It's just, like, I'm stressing right now. I'm like, no, let's do this, and I'm going to do it now. It's like, no, no, no. I'm like, all right, I can't control this.
You painted a perfect picture of fatherhood where you're like doing a puzzle with them. It's like, no, it's got to be easy to start on the edges first. Yeah. And there's certain things that, like said, someone's going to knock over the puzzle or something you worked out and like play with it. So I love that.
Or they just want to go and play somewhere else for 5 minutes. Like, no, let's finish it. Like, we're almost there. Like, the princess's face is almost done. No, you know, I'm going to go color over here. We'll get back to my guy. Okay. So it's never on your terms.
And I'm guessing, too, the last, like, the three last pieces, they have to put it in the puzzle. You don't do it. They do it, right?
Oh, it's the most frustrating. And they hide them. They sit on them. Like, oh, we don't know where the last pieces are. I'm like, I can see them under your leg. If they're there. I'm like, let's just finish this. I don't know. So, yeah, they always want to be the last one. And there's five different pieces and five different hands. And you have to go, okay, like, Ava goes last this time. So it's just, yeah. Constant.
Love it, man. And now kind of blending fatherhood into the NHL, man. Is there an aspect of your career that something you learned in the NHL that you passed down or will pass down to your daughters, that something like a life lesson that you learned that you can share with them?
This is legit. I know it's just a cliche story. I was always told you were too big, you're not good enough, you're not skilled enough. So I was told by multiple coaches, you know, you should probably focus on something else. This hockey thing won't work out. And I just kind of put that aside, and I knew I had a vision for my life, and I just worked at it. And I kept working and working where I saw other people who were way more talented, they had way more ability, and they would fall off, and they wouldn't succeed like I would. And once you see that, when you see someone who's better than you are, and you're moving past them, it's addictive, and you want to keep doing it. So I just think hopefully I can instill in them just that work ethic, that drive to never giving up and setting a goal and going and getting it. Because that's what I did. I had a goal. Like NHL, and I had that goal when I was 3 years old, and I achieved it, and hopefully they can kind of set that goal, whatever it is. It might be just being a mom, you know, and if that's what they want to do, you know, you can go and get that, and I hopefully they can learn that from me.
Nice, man. Love that. And of course, your book, A Guy Like Me, Fighting to Make the Cut, is a true underdog story. It's detailed in your book from the NHL All-Star Game to the other obstacles that were in your way. I mean, just even that whole NHL thing where it was like, Predators let you go, and it's like, now you're going to AHL, and everyone's like, wait a minute, we want him in the All-Star Game and all that. So even through that, when you were supposed to reap the rewards of all your hard work, there's a lot of stuff that got in your way. There's probably a lot of things, but what is one story or one experience that you are so proud of in your career that you would like to share?
Well, it's funny. The All-Star Game was super special for me because my wife was there with my two older kids, and she was pregnant with our twins, and she was about to give birth 2 days later. She did give birth 2 days after the All-Star Game. So it was neat to be able to win that All-Star Game and then have my two kids come out on the ice with me and kind of get the check, get the car, and I'd be able to skate around with them because I knew my career was over after that season. And it was just special for them to experience that. And it spoiled them because now whenever I go play, like, pick up hockey with the guys, I play like a Sunday night league. Every time I come home, they're like, did you get a car or a big trophy? I don't understand what's happening. Like, you didn't win anything? I'm like, no, no, no. Like, that was a very unique situation. So they're just really spoiled with that. But it was just cool to have them a part of that. It was really interesting. Yeah.
Every time we go see Dad at work when he was playing hockey, he came home with a new car. What's going on? Like, why isn't he doing that, right?
It's a rare problem for a kid to have.
I love that. No, that's fantastic. And again, I know you probably wouldn't want to change anything because of everything you've experienced. And like you said, like, it was very addicting to, like, you can't do this. All right, I did it. And now it's like, oh, other people who were supposed to be quote unquote better than you, you're surpassing them. But if you could go back in time when you started your NHL career, knowing what you know now, is there one big piece of advice you would share with your younger self?
I think I would maybe focus myself a little more. I fought a lot. And, you know, I thought that was my ticket to stay in the NHL, whereas I'm going to just fight. And I worked on fighting a lot. And I think if I would have worked on a different part of my craft, like I did when I was in college and before I got to the NHL, maybe I would have been more effective. And I, like, don't get me wrong, I played for 10 years. I had a good career, but I think I could have been more effective other than just kind of throwing my hands around, which I was good at. But maybe I could have did a little bit more. But that's just little things. I was very blessed to be able to play in the best league in the world for so long, and I'm well aware of that. So I'm not going to be like, like I made a lot of money and I played a kid's game. So it was, super, super blessed.
In one word, though, or maybe like two or three, this has to be confined to one word, and then we'll go into the fatherhood quick five. For people like myself who are never going to be a professional athlete, we get that. Talk like just like what are some words that describes like playing in the NHL, just in front of the crowd, just in front of like the best of the best. What is like maybe a sentence or two that kind of encapsulates your feelings from playing in the NHL?
One word, I would just say it's fulfilling. It's something you work for as a kid. You dream about it. You think about it. You play when you're a little kid. You're like, I'm going to score this goal in overtime. And then once you get there, it's a total fulfillment of all your dreams, and it's totally worth it. But then it's also a huge sacrifice, too. I don't want to go on that tangent. It's not all like rainbows and butterflies. You have to work a lot to stay there. So there's a lot that goes into it.
That's fantastic, man. Thank you very much for sharing that. Again, people, make sure you pick up his book, Guy Like Me, Fighting to Make the Cut. You can go pick it up at johnscottallstar.com. Of course, put up links. But now we're going to finish off with the Fatherhood Quick Five. Favorite family movie in the household is what?
Oh, gosh. We've been really into Little House on the Prairie.
Nice.
So that's been a hot ticket lately.
That's fantastic, man. Favorite song, or is there an artist you couldn't wait to introduce your kids to?
Tragically, yeah.
Oh,
yeah, they're my
nice.
Favorite band growing up. I'm Canadian. They were a massive band. The lead singer just passed away last year, so yeah. Big deal. But the Tragically Hip, it's just an unbelievable band.
Nice, man. And I know everyone's social distancing and staying away from the like certain vacation spots, but when you can go back out, or maybe you've already experienced it, describe the perfect family vacation. Where would it be?
We want to go to Paris in France and just rent a house for like a month. In the countryside. That's what I like to do. I like to go somewhere and just like get a house for a month. I'm not a big jumping around spot. Like, let's drive and do like 50 different things in 50 different days. I'm like, no, we're going to kind of go somewhere for a month. So we've done that in Costa Rica. We did it in Australia. We've done it in a few other places. And our next one hopefully will be France or Italy. That's what we're shooting for.
Very cool. And of course, you said you grew up in Canada, from Canada. You wanted to play hockey since you were really young. So tell me who your favorite athlete growing up was.
That's Ray Bourque. I don't know if you had a big hockey fan base, but he was my guy. Number 77 for the Bruins.
Nice, man. Very cool. And lastly, top three words you hope your daughters would use to describe you as a father.
Top three words? Oh, man. I hope they would say strict. They would say loving. And they would say, strict, loving, and... I don't know. Faithful. Those three.
There you go. Nice, man. Love that. People, make sure you follow JohnScott_32. Check out his podcast, Dropping the Gloves, on his website over at johnscottallstar.com. I really appreciate you taking the time, man. Big fan of the book. And also, too, just, man, as a guy for, having daughters, see what you're doing and promoting that girl dad mentality. I really appreciate it, man.
Next time we talk, I hope you have two or three more so you can really have a conversation.
I got to talk to my wife about that. We'll see where she stands on that. Take care, man.
All right, we'll see ya.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to theartoffatherhood.net.